This podcast is brought to you by the North Star, an independent media company fully supported by our members at thenorthstar.com. We are able to speak truth to power without fear or hesitation because people just like you support this work with their monthly and annual contributions. If you're already a member, thank you. If not, join us so that we can continue our liberation journalism through podcasts, articles, activism, and so much more. Again, join us now at thenorthstar.com.
This is Ray King.
And this is Sean King.
And we are
Married to the Movement.
On this episode of Married to the Movement, we're doing something that I think is really cool, and it was actually your idea. You had heard some other podcasts where very simply people just literally got their phones and kind of recorded what family life was actually like.
Yeah, and I wondered like how they did that. Like, I was like, are they just literally pulling out their phones and talking into the phone, which feels kind of silly. But at the same time, I thought it was kind of cool because it was, you know, it wasn't like super produced like what tends to happen. And it was just like raw. So I wanted to give it a try.
I actually didn't think it was going to work. And when you were doing it, I was thinking, This is not going to sound good. And it actually ended up being really good. And I think super interesting.
Thank you very much. This is what tends to happen. This is what tends to be the case.
What?
Yeah, that I'm right about something and you're very stubborn and then you end up coming around.
I mean, that's true sometimes.
Most of the time.
Well, okay.
Okay.
And this past December, you know, in 2019, all throughout the year in 2019, I campaigned for Bernie Sanders all over the country.
Boy, did you campaign for Bernie Sanders. Lord have mercy. I don't know if there's anybody on the planet that loves Bernie Sanders like you love Bernie Sanders.
Well, there are lots of people that love Bernie Sanders. But
not like you.
I didn't campaign more anywhere else than I campaigned in California.
Yeah, for
and,
sure.
And we lived in California on multiple occasions as a family across the years. Mm-hmm. And we traveled as a family when we lived there. We traveled all over the state. And in part, I felt like I knew California.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, I've developed kind of a strong base of support myself in California.
Why don't we live in California?
Well, we love New York.
I'm trying to understand.
Well, I mean, there are things to love about the whole country, is what we've learned. Like wherever you don't live, you miss.
Yes, that's true. So, no place more than California, though. When we're looking at houses on the beach and you know, the great weather. First of all, it's a beautiful place. Like, I'm constantly surprised at how many people I talk to who you know, haven't really gone to California, haven't traveled there. And every time they do, they're like, whoa, I was not expecting it to be so pretty.
It's like another country, you know, and the news doesn't necessarily do it justice. And so, you know, I've developed a big base of support there, and I've traveled to speak there so many times across the years. And so this past December, which was before any state had voted yet, I decided that we would use our Christmas break.
How do I let you do this stuff? I don't know how I let myself get talked into these things. Yeah, our Christmas break, campaigning for Bernie, what fun.
Well, we traveled to California.
I mean, I did only agree because it was California.
Right, yeah. We traveled to California, up and down California, and I did, you know, over a dozen events throughout Christmas break. And you took your phone and recorded kind of what it was like to have the family on the road with me and campaigning for Bernie.
Yeah, so this first clip is us just getting off the plane. It was about 12:30 in the morning when we landed. That's always tricky, flying coast to coast like especially with kids, and they were delirious, and I was so frustrated because we couldn't rent a car because there were no cars to rent at LAX, and so
because it was Christmas, again, this is pre-coronavirus, and so you have to see the world as kind of pre- and post-coronavirus, but the challenge for us is finding a car big enough.
Oh, for sure.
For all of our family and all of our luggage.
Yeah, because we were traveling with, I think, four of the kids.
Yeah,
there
were six of us. Six of us and luggage for six people.
Oh, yeah. So we always have to drive a Suburban or at the very least a minivan, but preferably a Suburban.
They were hard to come by.
Yeah, they just weren't. And I don't know why, but so yeah, I was frustrated, and you can probably hear that. And the kids were singing, and it was loud and crazy. But yeah, this was us getting off the plane. So we just landed in LA. It is 12:30 West Coast time. And that means it is 3:30 East Coast time. Everybody is delirious. Savannah is singing for no good reason.
Say mommy's long.
There's always a reason to sing.
Oh my God.
We're here following Sean around for the Bernie campaign.
Goodness.
And we're tired. We'll see how this goes. Right now, we're in the cold waiting for Sean to call an Uber because there were literally no... What? Okay. There were literally no cars available to rent. So we have to drive all the way from LA to Santa Ana tomorrow to rent a car. And for now, we have to take an Uber to the spot where we are staying. Okay, so yeah, we finally got an Uber. Well, no, yeah, we did. We finally got an
Uber. Is that what we did?
Yeah, we got an Uber when we got out. Remember, we had to walk that really long way, and then it was this weird parking lot situation
that's
they had set
that's
up
right,
where,
that's
where
right.
you could call an Uber from. It was...
And then we even struggled to find the house when we got to the house.
We did.
I forgot
it was
that.
Weird. Yeah.
It was dark. It was by the time we got to the house from the airport, it was 1:30 in the morning. And for us, it felt like 4:30 in the morning because we were coming from New York.
Yeah,
so we were tired.
Yeah.
It was pitch black in the neighborhood. And we had gotten an Airbnb. Our family is so big, we can never fit in one hotel room.
We have to at least get
two hotel rooms, and we're so big at this point. And the kids' ages vary so much, and it's girls and boy, and you know, and we really need a house.
Yeah. So we stayed in the house, and so yeah, you're right. We got there. It was super late, and we had to get up in the morning and
go to
church.
That's
like,
right,
and not just church. Several churches, because that's what you do when you are campaigning.
Well,
on Sundays.
The way I see it, and what I've always told Bernie's campaign, or anytime I'm helping any campaign for district attorney or anything else, I tell them, like, if I'm in town, please book me in as many places as humanly possible.
And they do.
Yeah.
And we don't know, we don't go to all of them. Definitely not.
Right.
The kids, they're miserable. Since I like church anyway, I was like, okay, we'll do all the churches.
We got a little rest, a little, and got ourselves together and cleaned ourselves up and then went to South Central.
Yeah.
And part of what I was hoping to do in Los Angeles and all over California was to reach new voters, to reach black and brown communities where they weren't necessarily hearing the message of the campaign. And, you know, our goal was to win. It sounded crazy at the time, but our goal was to win every county. And Los Angeles has, California has close to 80 counties.
Did Bernie win every county?
He won all but four counties, and they were like four of the smallest counties. And so all the counties we campaigned in, we won.
Yeah, well, that day I found it very interesting because you seemed really nervous, and you're never nervous when you speak. But, you know, I think we went to three churches that morning, and I just felt like you were a little flat.
Yeah,
I told you that.
Yeah, you know, you weren't wrong, for my whole life, I've always thought it was weird when politicians would come to our churches and campaign.
Of course, because you know why they're there, right?
Right.
And it feels very pandery.
Right. And so I'm not pandery. And so to figure out how to be authentic in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Because you're very comfortable in church. Like, you pastored for forever. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah, so, no, it wasn't. I loved all of the churches. And I know how to speak in a church. But here was my struggle. I knew I was there to represent Bernie, not just to say hello, there are lots of stuff I could say that could inspire the audience, but I knew I had a primary purpose, which was to try to connect people to a presidential campaign. And so I struggled a little bit.
Yeah. I could tell that you were really uncomfortable. You ain't seen nothing yet. Eyes haven't seen it.
Ears haven't heard it.
Another thing folks will hear is me laying down the rules for how the kids needed to behave. Everybody who meets our kids, they always talk about like how well behaved and polite and outgoing they are. But our kids are bad. Like, for real.
You mean in real life? You mean in real life?
Yeah, man.
No, but they are, well, they're performers. And so they know they can hold it together in public.
They can hold it together, but only for so long.
We've been around families and kids who don't know how to hold it together, even in public.
Yes. And so this next clip is me just like admonishing them, like, this is how you're going to hold it together. Like,
right,
do not
right.
go in here and embarrass me.
Right.
Because, you know, our kids grew up like new school church. You know, they got children's ministry and, you know, they all that kind of
they
stuff.
They don't know and how to just sit. They don't know.
They don't know just how to sit, man.
Right.
When I was growing up in church, you had that hymn book that you flipped through sometimes. If you were lucky, somebody passed you a pen and you could draw on the bulletin, you know.
Yeah, or you get a little draw on the back of a giving envelope or something and
right.
hope that a church mother or somebody give you a peppermint.
Right. But other than that, like, that was your place in church. And so, you know, I knew that that's what our kids' experience was going to be while we were on the road that day. Going to all these different churches, and I needed them to just
yeah.
Then
other day, behave. They we went to a church right in the heart of South Central, and we actually all had a really good time.
Which one? Oh, the very first one for sure. Yeah. That well, first of all, especially it was our first one, so we were like you know, bright and alive and happy.
Right.
And as soon as we walked in, they started feeding the kids, basically shoving donuts down their throat. And my 7-year-old was in heaven.
Mm-hmm,
like that's
mm-hmm.
That's her love language, basically.
What
food? Being fed. And so yeah, they started feeding them and fruit, and they were on cloud nine. But the service was actually really great. Like, it was easy to forget that I was there, that we were there to campaign. Like, we just wanted to be there and enjoy the service. It
you
was
know,
really great.
Here's the thing. What we did, you know, we campaigned all over Los Angeles. Like, we did events all over the city, and not just, like, in the city central, all over the county. And at the time when we were doing those events, it was thought that we were a long shot to win Los Angeles County. It's the biggest county in California, one of the biggest counties in the country. And Bernie got beat badly in California and in Los Angeles in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And Los Angeles, for as progressive as it is, typically votes for the most mainstream Democrat running. And not only did our family, did we work hard there, but they just had a beautiful operation there. And so they sent us to churches that, you know, where they thought we could really impact the community.
Yeah, totally. All right, kids. Now, this is the last church. So same rules apply. Just smile, be on your best behavior, and easy, you have to spit that gum out. All right? All right.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so the kids listened. They were good. They didn't chew any gum or fall asleep.
Right.
And I actually think they enjoyed it.
Yeah. I mean, they did enjoy it, and they had a lot to say about it.
We forgot to mention that Lee was with us.
Yeah. My Morehouse brother, one of my best friends in the world, and probably my closest partner in all the work that I do on issues of police brutality and so much more. Lee Merritt was there, and Lee is actually from Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And he came out there to be with his family for Christmas break as well. And he met up with us and actually got in the van. We rented a minivan.
Yeah. And he got in the van and was going to several of the churches with us. And so in this next clip, I really like this clip. You can't really hear so much what you all are saying the whole time, but I really like this clip. And I started recording because as I was sitting in the car listening to you all talk about the cases that you all were working on, one in particular, I was really intrigued. And I thought, man, you know, during the civil rights movement or other movements for change, I think people, you know, envision that they're like these big organized meetings that are happening all the time, and there's a whiteboard with, you know, plans written out, and some of that does happen, but rarely. Mostly it's, you know, impromptu conversations where people saying, yeah, this is what I'm dealing with, and oh, this is, you know, this is who I talk to, and this is what the prosecutors are saying and doing. And so I just thought it was a really intriguing moment that I just wanted to capture.
You know, for me and Lee, the conversation was like 1,000 conversations I've had with him before, but it was the first time you all were sitting in on it and the first time we'd ever recorded that type of conversation.
Yeah, and it was neat just hearing, you know, Lee, you all serve very different purposes in the fight against police brutality. I mean, you all worked super well together, but, you know, you are pretty stationary. Like, you're here, you research, you tell the stories, you build movements behind them that support websites, petitions, you know, phone calls, you know, that kind of advocacy. Lee is very different. He's on the ground. He's flying here and there.
Well, he's an attorney. So he represents these families.
Right. And so his job is to go out and gather evidence and all this kind of stuff. And so to hear him talk about, you know, how hard that can be sometimes when you're showing up to a community and people are like, I don't know if I want this.
Well, he's become nationally known, when he shows up to town, particularly if he's in southern Texas or rural Texas, folks start getting nervous. And I don't just mean like white folk nervous because he's there for justice. Black folk are nervous because it's like, oh, what is his presence? Can his presence get me in trouble?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what he's talking about.
That's about it. People don't understand, the more you stand up, the more pressure you put on them.
Yeah, man, it's a direct correlation, man.
But there is, the one thing that gives me hope is Wiley College is there. So they're out for school. I'm going to go back when the kids are back in school, give them some things to do.
You've been through there already.
Yeah, man. The community is so scared there, man. They saw me coming. It was the first time. You know, it's different now. It's better.
Hey.
Hey, just making sure you didn't get lost.
I'm just 2 minutes away.
Our family has been doing therapy now for about a year, and it has genuinely changed the dynamic of our house for the better. It can feel really scary or awkward to start, but the benefits are undeniable.
Any hesitations that I had about starting therapy, today's sponsor, BetterHelp, really addressed. BetterHelp is an online service that will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online.
They offer a broad range of expertise that may not normally be available in your local area. They're committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed.
To get started, visit BetterHelp.com/MTM. That's BetterHelp, and join the over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional.
Right now, listeners of Married to the Movement get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/MTM.
married to the movement.
You didn't record you just rolling your eyes at me?
No, but I can do it again. There.
What? I didn't see it. I still didn't see it.
Don't. Yeah, now it's recorded.
What did I do? I forget what I did.
No, just go on.
What?
The next part.
Remind me.
Speaking in Santa Ana.
Oh. So that same day, we went to several churches that morning and afternoon. Our family, we actually, we traveled and got some like amazing barbecue.
Oh, yeah. That barbecue was really good.
Yeah. It was because we had to travel from South Central to Orange County. And we've lived in Orange County multiple times. We've lived all over Orange County. Mm-hmm. We lived in Irvine and Aliso Viejo and
Laguna Niguel. Because we move a million times.
And we had our daughter Kendi actually went to a performing arts school in Santa Ana. So we knew Santa Ana well. And we had friends who had lived in Santa Ana. And so we had to travel from Los Angeles to Santa Ana.
Mm-hmm.
And we stopped
at the end of this marathon Sunday.
We stopped and got some barbecue.
We stopped and spent a little bit of time on the beach as well. Yeah.
And then made our way to Santa Ana. And I think that was one of my favorite moments, in part because I felt like in some ways it was returning to a place that we had lived in many years ago, but under very different circumstances. And we were there to open up a new office for Bernie in Orange County. This was going to be the grand opening of the Orange County field office.
You play really well in California. I was really surprised when we were at the Santa Ana event. Like, there were so many people there, and they were so excited to see you.
Well,
and I'm still just like, really? Like,
right.
Yeah, I don't understand.
The only time you are excited to see me is if I've been gone for a long time. Like,
no,
on an average day.
It doesn't have to be a long time.
Right.
I miss you when you travel.
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, day to day, you're not excited about me being around here.
I'm not impressed. That's what I'm saying.
I'm okay. saying I'm not a VIP or anything.
Definitely
to
not.
You or to, you know, and so I do tell people, this is funny. You know, I've traveled now to 47 states, and some states, people really dig me. In some cities and some states, they just don't.
What's one where people are like, eh?
This is kind of weird. I never find people super enthusiastic about me in Atlanta.
Oh, well, and, you know, profit isn't received in his own home.
Well, you know what? Atlanta's not known. We lived in Atlanta for most of our adult lives, but Atlanta's not really super known for activism. People think of Dr. King and other stuff, but it's
true, but that was mostly happening in Montgomery.
Montgomery, Birmingham, yeah. Mississippi. He came to Atlanta to kind of rest, but in California, I don't know. I've always connected well with people in California.
I mean, people were lined up. Like, people were always standing in the line to talk to you after you've spoken or something. I mean, but people were just like, I don't know that I've ever seen people be willing to wait in line that long to speak to you and to take a picture with you. And just the enthusiasm for Bernie was, like, really strong
the roof.
There.
Well, let me say the notion that Bernie Sanders could win Orange County was preposterous.
Why?
Well, let me explain. For the past 60 years, until 2016, a Republican won the presidential election in Orange County for 60 straight years.
Mm.
Until 2016, it was a Republican stronghold.
Mm.
So for it to be a Republican, and Bernie was, when I told you he lost Los Angeles, he lost in 2016, he lost Orange County by an even larger margin. The idea that this place that was a Republican stronghold, that we could go in there and out-organize every other campaign seemed outrageous. But we felt strongly that if Bernie was going to win California, which is the biggest state in the Democratic primaries, period. Mm-hmm. So I put all of my eggs really in the California basket. I went to a few other places. but mainly to California. And we just felt like if he's going to win California, he's got to win Orange County. And people were so pumped. And those same people who came to the grand opening organized their asses off for the next month.
Yeah, it was really impressive. But, you know, those kinds of events where you're going to be super popular like that, those events are really difficult for me to have the kids at.
Right.
Because when you're in a space where you're so well known like that and people are just really enthusiastic to share their stories or to get a picture with you, then they're also going to be more likely to know me as well.
Which is not how we roll typically.
And so many people at that event, you know, just wanted to have really lengthy conversations. And that's not me. Like, I'm not a campaigner. I'm not a schmoozer. You know, I'm just not. And so that night, I remember after maybe about 20, 30 minutes or so, I went and sat in the car. I got the kids and I was just like, all right, you all, let's just go sit in the car for the rest of the time, because I'd had enough at that point.
You know, I also get a little sad thinking about that event because, again, it was pre-coronavirus and I shook everybody's hand.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it was a major germ fest. You know, like, when you think of how we are right now, like, it was, I hugged hundreds of people, shook hundreds of hands, took pictures with everybody until the whole crowd was gone.
Yeah.
And just my hope was, like, let's have the biggest impact. Let's make sure that everybody here becomes a volunteer and a donor. And we did win Orange County.
Yeah.
And that office that we opened had everything to do with it.
For years, that's why my family, my wife and kids are here tonight. And that's why we took our Christmas vacation to be here, because we know Bernie can win Orange County. And we know that you're going to make that happen. Listen, I'm so honored and excited to be here. Thank all of you who I took selfies with. We made a deal. If you took a selfie, you have to volunteer. All right?
And I'll find you.
Yeah, we're going to fix it. We're going to find you. Listen, anybody who we didn't take selfies with, we'll do that. But my talk really tonight is going to be more practical. In 38 days, if I'm doing the math right, you're going to get your first chance to vote for Bernie. Yeah. Now, listen. If all of us voted for Bernie, that's not a victory. I need everybody in here, yes, to be a voter, but I need you to kind of flip a switch, to stop seeing yourself just as a voter, and even I want you to flip a switch where you even stop seeing yourself just as a fan of Bernie, of me, or anybody else, and I need you to start seeing yourselves, if you're here tonight. Listen, if you're here right now in the cold, you're already a little crazy.
So the last clip was really of kind of the rally part of the event.
You're really good at that part.
Well, I appreciate it. And you get it down after a while. Like,
I could never.
Well, you know, it's actually, of all the types of things that I do, it's probably the single easiest thing, because you are there with super fans.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have energy and you have to say
the
right things.
Well, and you're just good on the stage. It's like how you talk about being a stage musician, not musician, magician,
right,
versus a close-up magician. I'm definitely much better close-up and you're definitely much better on the stage.
Well, you know, at those events, I think at those events, I don't know if I've ever shared this illustration that you just introduced. You know, I like to tell people that there are two types of magicians. There's a stage magician who's far away and they're doing kind of far away magic. And then there are close-up magicians. And we went to this place, Magic Castle in California.
Mm-hmm.
And at Magic Castle, you could see close-up magicians who are right there in front of your face doing card tricks and optical illusions with their hands, sleight of hand. And then there's somebody up on the stage. Well, most speakers are normally either good close up or good on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And in those events are probably, I do prefer, I think, the stage part of it, But I try my best in those events to
do
both.
No, in those events, no, you are. But I just mean you're not very good at relationship building.
Right. Well, at those events, it's you don't have to build
like
a relationship.
Long-term relationship, one-on-one, you know, kind of
well,
building.
Well, yeah, at those events, that's not what you're doing.
No. No, in those events, you know, even when you're just talking to one person, you're still stagey, but just, you know, on a smaller environment.
Yeah. And so after I spoke, I stayed to take a few hundred pictures, and you asked the kids what they thought, and we'll play that.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys, tell me, what do you think about
I'm
being here
fan.
At the stop?
I think it's so fun, and I want to live here, because then we could live at a beach.
No, I mean at the Bernie Sanders campaign.
Oh, well, I would rather not do this.
Why?
Because we went to two churches.
Mm-hmm. The Bernie Sanders campaign.
We could do anything else. So.
Yeah, this isn't your idea of fun?
This is my idea of fun.
Why?
Not really. I just wanted to make it
clear. Okay. Danny, what do you think?
I like seeing how many people admire my mom and dad and see how they change and see how they are making a difference in people's lives.
Aww.
And that there are people around that are happy and they admire and they really, really like my parents, and it's cool.
Kendi's over there taking pictures for everybody who wants a picture with Dad. I wonder what she thinks about
this. Do you guys want any water or anything?
Kids are really cracking me up in that last clip,
right.
Especially Zaya. You know, kids are so honest, no filter, really. But I also thought it was really sweet to hear Van say that, you know, being at those kinds of events made her proud. She threw me in there, though I had nothing to do with any of it.
Well, she was proud, and she's getting older, too, so she could kind of understand the moment a little better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she kind of understands presidential politics and...
Yeah, a little bit.
And she knows who Bernie is. They've met Bernie, and so it was, you know, it was cool to me to hear that again.
Yeah, but Zaya was like, yeah, I'd rather not. Like,
I'd like to live here, but not do any of this.
Right.
She said, we already did churches.
Right.
Why are we still working? And in their defense, it was a long day.
It was such a long day. Made better by that Robert Earl's barbecue that we had.
Yeah.
And I think after
it was some
over,
of the best damn barbecue I've had in my entire life.
It was really good. And after it was over, we took them for In-N-Out, which is always a family favorite, after the Bernie event was finished.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, we drove to In-N-Out, and so that helped.
Yeah, it kind of is a blur to me. So that, yeah, I don't even remember the In-N-Out.
Yeah.
So we're in bed at the end of a long day on Sunday. One of the kids were like, it was a very Sean day today. And it was, because we started out at two churches this morning, both in Compton. That was really cool. Greater Zion was awesome. Loved that pastor and that church. They were so hospitable and just good, kind people. Kendi said, oh, mommy, if I get into USC, this is where I'm going to come to church. So, really enjoyed it. Sean, what was the second church called? What was the name?
City on the Hill.
City on the Hill. Oh, my gosh. We got it there in time for the sermon. That was really good. Even my 13-year-old son was into it and was, like, repeating it back to the pastor, which is always a good sign. Talked about how your mind and your mouth and your mannerisms should all reflect the fact that you know God. That was really good. So after that, we went and had lunch at this amazing place in Long Beach. Sean, what was that called?
It was great. The barbecue place.
The barbecue spot.
Hold on.
Yeah, you look it up, but it had excellent reviews. As soon as we walked in, somebody came up to us like, oh my gosh, I follow you.
And Robert Earl's Barbecue.
Oh, Robert Earl's Barbecue. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
We traveled from Los Angeles up to the Bay Area, and again, we lived in California many times, and we used to make that trek all the time. We would halfway between Southern California and the Bay are several national parks that we used to go to.
Yeah, we used to camp. We were really big into camping. That's another thing about California. It's a very outdoor culture.
Yeah.
And so we started doing things that when we lived there that we had never done before.
And you know, I without you and the kids, I have traveled to speak in California across the years maybe 20 times, maybe more than that. And I've spent a lot of time in the Bay Area speaking all over the Bay. And so for several days when we were in the Bay Area, I would leave the family and go and do events in Oakland.
Yeah, because you'd always ask us, like, okay, this is the next event. Do you all want to come? And sometimes Kendi, our 18-year-old, would go with you. Sometimes not. Most of the time, the kids and I definitely did.
I wish you all could have recorded because I spoke at barbershops. I spoke
at... Oh, yeah, you had a good time, actually.
I spoke... We did real grassroots stuff where I spoke at two different barbershops. I spoke at two different sneaker stores.
Mm-hmm.
But they had crowds that were there for that. Like, we didn't just barge into business.
Right,
like,
right, right. They were expecting you.
The goal, again, was to connect with people that most candidates and most campaigns, not just presidential, just looked over. And what was profound for me was... It touched people that a presidential campaign, like this was an official Bernie Sanders campaign event, wanted to be in their barbershop, wanted to be in their sneaker store, and they felt like, oh, this is different.
Yeah, and so this next clip is Zaya, our 7-year-old. She had heard you speak several times, obviously, and decided that she would give us a little performance of Zaya as Daddy.
I wasn't there for that, so
no,
I was
no,
out.
No. It was New Year's Eve, yeah. And so you were campaigning, and we were hanging out in yet another Airbnb, and I'd gone to Target, and we got materials to make our vision boards like we do year. And so we were we were just hanging out house.
All that stuff that I just talked about, I did all that on New Year's Eve, actually. Yeah. I remember now.
Yeah, you did.
Hello, everybody. This is why you... Well, first, I'm Sean King. This is why you should vote for Bernie. He's much better than Donald Trump.
Mm.
And...
Why?
Shut up. And he is nice. Donald Trump sucks.
Okay, well, I can't play that. So.
It really cracks me up to hear Zaya's impression of me. And then I like how she says Donald Trump sucks.
Oh my gosh. And I was like, okay, well, now I can't use this clip.
we still use it.
Because y'all here cussing.
Right. Right. One of the things that I would do, I would go and speak to the campaign staff and volunteers to try to encourage them, because a lot of times what we were asking them to do was to knock on doors and make phone calls day and night, day and night, day and night. And part of my job was to go there and encourage them. In some ways, I'm just like, I'm making an appearance, but I was trying to relate to them just how important their work was. Now, I knew that if we were going to win California, I said we had to win Orange County and we had to win Los Angeles, and all of that is true. But I knew there was no way we could win California if we didn't win San Francisco.
Yeah, and so you went and helped speak to volunteers in this office and actually learned a lot. Sometimes you'll talk and I'll zone you out. But
I'll be learning so much truth on this podcast. What?
But this time I listened, and I listened to you and I listened to the other person that
Michael
was
Lighty, who...
Yeah, who spoke about Medicare for All.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, Michael Lighty worked for National Nurses Union for a big chunk of his life and is a Medicare for All expert. And we felt strongly that that is part of what was on the table. And we would try to break those things down, not just for staff who kind of knew those issues forwards and backwards, but we would be doing, Michael and I did maybe 6 or 7 events together. And we were trying to just educate volunteers so that when they knocked on doors and made phone calls, they really knew what to say.
Yeah. Please
please welcome Sean King.
So good to be here with you, and I love people who are weird enough to come to a Bernie event. It's a special kind of weird to come out on your day off to hang out with each other and tell people why we're doing this. And so I love this crowd. I love this office. The staff is great. Thank you to the staff and volunteers who helped make this happen. It's a really cool office. I do just want to say, and I just can't get out of my mind, that that is not Bernie Sanders' actual body. If you look at them, I started looking, and I've met the man, and I thought, he would never wear that suit, and then I saw the shoes. And I said, no, he would never wear those shoes. I think that is his head. But if you see it, I think that's Michael Bloomberg's body. As I look at the suit, I think there are pinstripes on it.
In the San Francisco office, which was actually a beautiful office, they had this cardboard figure cut out of Bernie. And I looked at it, and I know Bernie. And as soon as I saw it, I said, this is not Bernie's body.
That's so funny. I never would have picked up on that. But as soon as you said it, I looked at it, and I was like, oh, this looks ridiculous.
One, the suit, it was Bernie's face, and it was meant to look really real.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a suit that looked like a $5,000 Brooks Brothers suit. And Bernie literally buys his suits at Kohl's off the rack. Literally at Kohl's.
How do you know?
But he talks about it. And there are videos of him going into Kohl's and getting his suits and stuff.
Wow.
You know? And so I saw it. I was like, hold on. I looked at the shoes. I was like, those shoes are like
$2,000. And the pose. It was like, had his hand in his pocket. Like, yeah,
Right. As soon as I looked at it, I was like, This is not Bernie. And what was hilarious is the staff there in the office, I guess, had not realized that it was. And I was like,
nobody was paying attention like that. But and it's weird that you were.
So I just looked at it out like, that's not it. The man had the cutout had like designer shoes, a designer suit, and he had his hands in his suit pocket striking a pose.
Yeah.
Like, that's not Bernie. That would never be how he would look.
Like, looking at it now, it's like, okay, yeah, that was pretty obvious.
Yeah, I think it was like Michael Bloomberg's body, but Bernie's head.
You said Michael Bloomberg.
Yeah, right. But the last clip, it was probably one of my favorite moments of the entire trip. The trip was special for me to have you all there with me the entire trip. There were lots of moments that stood out to me, and I was incredibly proud that we won California, and we fought hard and organized hard all over the state, and it wasn't even close. So I felt like, in retrospect, we did what we were supposed to do in California, and we won. But this
you
final...
mean you feel like that now? You're using past tense. I was confused.
Oh, no. I know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like we organized well. Like, the lessons, even though Bernie struggled in the weeks after California, after everyone got behind Joe Biden and all the candidates bowed out and got behind him, what we did in California worked.
Yeah. Man. That I think we were on such a different trajectory before all those other candidates dropped out and endorsed Joe Biden.
Bernie had major momentum, and that's actually why all the candidates dropped out, was to stop Bernie.
It worked.
And but there was a moment where we went to Oakland, and there's a little community of people that I am a part of and that I love and talk to, and the family had never met this community, but these are people that I talk with all the time. And it was really important for me that you all actually be there. And so we went to the BART train station. That's Bay Area Rapid Transit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the 11-year, I believe, anniversary of the murder of Oscar Grant.
Yeah.
And last year,
and up until you know, for years I heard you talk about Uncle Bobby, you know, conversations you were having with Uncle Bobby. And so this is the first time that I actually got to meet. And gosh, that whole, his whole family,
yeah,
all the organizers there, that was just such a warm, it almost felt Southern. You know, everybody was just kind.
It's funny that you say that, because Uncle Bobby is literally the uncle of Oscar Grant and has been not just the primary person organizing on behalf of Oscar Grant across the years, but he's become a confidant and a supporter for families impacted by police brutality all over the country. And not just Uncle Bobby, but Oscar's entire family, they've become major advocates for reform and justice. And to be able to be there with them and speak there on the anniversary, I said a little bit about Bernie, but Uncle Bobby had invited me to be there just to be there. And we spoke about some of the elections of district attorneys. And it's funny that you say that it's Southern, because the truth is, and this is really the Black story in America, is, but particularly in the Bay Area, and I've had these conversations with people, Uncle Bobby and most of the organizers there, their families are from the South.
Right, of course.
And, but in the super Black community that we were in Oakland, we might as well have been in College Park.
Yeah, and you know? Actually the kids really enjoyed that too. You know, I remember when we were there, I was really nervous for some reason. Like I didn't feel safe, and I don't know why. I remember I was, you know, worried about where we parked, and I kept insisting that, you know, the two men who looked out of place, and they were looking at us funny, and like, that's like, sometimes I can get in my own head about our safety, and you know, who knows where we are, and these kind of things. And for some strange reason, that day was one of those days where I was just kind of like on edge the whole time.
But it ended up not being that.
No, it was great. Like, we got there, and I think some of it is rallies just make me nervous just in general, exposed.
I don't talk a lot about this publicly, but I generally don't do open rallies that are just open air in the public, no tickets, no open access. Because it does put me at risk as well.
And normally, if we're at a rally, if the kids and I are there, and even when you're there by yourself, we're traveling with security.
Yeah.
But because it was a vacation,
we didn't have security.
Yeah. And so it was kind of, I don't know, it was just something about that day in particular. Mm-hmm. But we got there, and it was great. And the kids, they got their faces painted.
Right.
And there was a rap group, like a super Oakland rap group performing.
Yeah.
And we loved it. It was so good.
They were up right before I was up. And even when I got up, it was like, man, that was the most Oakland rap performance I had ever seen.
Yeah.
And,
but we liked it so much, we got home and like
downloaded the single and all of that.
Yeah.
So this next clip, the first voice you'll hear is Uncle Bobby, the uncle of Oscar Grant, who I love and respect so much. He's one of my favorite people. And then I come up and speak for a few minutes as well.
Our unity was so powerful, we weren't able to get the district attorney and Tom Arnold to resign.
All right.
Our unity was so powerful, we were able to get Gordon Duggar, the general manager of Park, to resign.
Yeah.
Our unity was so powerful, we were able to get the Park Chief of Police, Chief Jean, to resign.
Yeah.
Our unity was so powerful, we were able to get Tony Peroni fired. So again, remember, our unity is what's critical in this movement today. Now, this person I'm getting ready to call up has been on a national tour making sure that we get the proper district attorney in office so that we can get real justice and change the basic system to become a system of what we call real equal justice. Sean King, could you come up, please?
Thank you, Uncle Bobby. Thank you to everybody who's here. It's my honor to be here. It's hard to follow the brothers that were just up here. I asked somebody, I said, are they from Oakland? Because that's hella Oakland. And it's like, that was about as Oakland as 5 minutes could ever be. That was the five most Oakland minutes I have ever had in my life. So thank you for the brothers that are here. Thank you to all of you who are here for supporting this family, loving this family. As Uncle Bobby said, I've been traveling the country working with communities to help elect district attorneys. And one of the things that I want to say to you that is sometimes hard when you're just living here and experiencing it, is I haven't been to very many communities that have stood with a family for 11 straight years. And many of you have been here for 11 straight years supporting this family. So when I heard the brothers from the nation, when I spoke to members here in the community who said, hey, we're not here today for the first time, we've been here consistently. And there's something powerful about consistency.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful to so many of you who have been here standing with the family, not just on this special day, but on days when there were no cameras, when there was nobody else around, you were here. So I just want you to understand for me that I'm grateful for you for doing that. And I need you to understand that I don't see that very often. And we're grateful for each of you.
So I really enjoy listening to all of these clips and moments. And now in retrospect, even though I was skeptical, now I'm really glad that you recorded those things.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, just for posterity. But I also wanted to give people a sneak peek into what our lives look like when we do this work.
Well, I mean, I think that this episode in particular really captures the marriage and the movement part, you know,
yeah,
and how those things work together, and you know, how we involve our kids every now and then, and what it's like to, you know, sometimes have to give up our personal space or give up our personal time for the work that you do. But we also try to make it worthwhile in the times that we can. So if we have to be on the road with you, if we have to give up, you know, a traditional Christmas vacation time, at least we got to do it in California.
Yeah, I got to do it in California. And I think it's a moment, you know, it's one of those moments that I hope the kids will look back on and even just say like, oh, wow, one time my family traveled together in a presidential campaign.
Yeah.
You know, and so it was just a cool moment, and also makes me miss California for sure.
Married to the Movement is brought to you by the North Star. We're so grateful to our members who make this and all the North Star content possible. Members of the North Star will always have access to this content first. So if you're not a member, you can head over to thenorthstar.com, click Join Now, and access this podcast, as well as a daily column from Sean King, show notes from The Breakdown, and other news for as little as $5 monthly. We super appreciate your support. Shout out to our senior producer, Willis, our podcasting director, Lissandra, and our creative director, Tone, for their work on today's episode. New episode live next week.